Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at another beatitude tonight. An interesting one. They're all interesting, aren't they? How many of you have mastered one yet? Not one of us. Sure gives us something to work at, doesn't it? God knows how to challenge us, doesn't he? And we need to be challenged because we are too complacent when we're not, all right? Matthew chapter 5, and let's read this one, verse number 9. Together, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Isn't that amazing? Let's read it again. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, Lord, do it again one more time. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. Bless the preaching of thy word in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Blessed happiness. Perfect happiness. That's what the word beatitude means. And I've reminded us, and it really doesn't take much convincing on my part, that we don't very often, if we ever do, run into people who are perfectly happy. And can I say to you, if you're leaning on the merits of what the world provides for you to be happy, forget it. There's always something on your plate that could make you unhappy. I mean, we had a great day today. 13 people walked the aisle, got saved. 6 people got baptized. Somebody rededicated their life. People were excited about coming to church. The parking lots were full. We had great meals, great participation. But how many of you could say after even a great day where God showed up, something happened this afternoon that could potentially steal your happiness? Can I get an amen? It's not very difficult to become unhappy. But can I remind you, as we read the Sermon on the Mount, as the King Jesus provides for us, his servants, a constitution, a body of rules, a government, if you would, in prospect as to how he'll lead in the millennial reign, but now as to how he wants to rule and reign in our hearts, he is reminding us that happiness does not come outside in. Happiness comes inside out. And he's trying to get us to understand that the world leans on their own merits. They lean on their own logic. They lean on their own reason. The world leans on what seems to make sense, what adds up. This is a me, myself, and I society. And the world says, the more you get you things, the more you will be happy. But how many of us know, the more we focus on me, the less happier I am? And so he says all these blessings, and these blessings are not blessed when you win the sweepstakes, blessed when you get a raise, blessed when you get a new job, blessed when you get a clean bill of health. They're all blessings that are followed by self-degradation in some sense of the word. He's saying to be self-denied. He's saying not to be self-absorbed. But he says to put self last, self on the bottom. By the way, we're not talking about insecurity, low self-esteem. We're not talking about thinking bad about yourself. We're not talking about anorexia, bulimia, starvation. No. We're simply saying when I make the aim of my life to please God by pleasing others. One by one, he goes through these blessings. We got all the way up to the pure in heart last night, and he's stepping on them, stepped last week rather, and each one develops upon the other. Tonight, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, in context, understand that the Jews have been taken over by the Gentiles, and even in the Old Testament, all of the Gentile nations stood in the way of the Jews and their progress. To inhabit Canaan, they had to drive out those enemies, right? Moses, Joshua, drive them out. The land was theirs, but not without obstacle or without odd or without opposition. Understand, they never got anything really without having to fight for it. How many of you know you appreciate it better when you fight for it? And so the New Testament Jew thought, that the joys of Christ's new kingdom would be to be on the side of Jesus as he uses us to pay back all of those Gentiles that stood in our way. So here were the Jews thinking, in the millennial reign, we're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And all these ites and Perizzites and Jebusites and Gergesites and all of these people that stand against the armies of the living God, God is going to then return his wrath on them. His vengeance will be evened out. His justice will be balanced. And guess what? We get to work for the king. We get to go through town wiping out all these enemies, all these Gentiles that mess with us, everybody that oppressed us and wore us down and stepped on us, all of our taskmasters, all of the wicked despots that have so demeaned us and demoralized us, God will use us to pay them back. That was the Old Testament way. Drive your enemies out. But the whole context of Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is, ye have heard that it hath been said. Wait a minute, fellas. It ain't what you used to hear before. I say unto you now, it's a new covenant. By the way, it's a new ruler that was under Saul and David and Josiah and them. There's coming a king whose kingdom will have no end. Isaiah said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Finish the last one for me. The Prince of Peace. And here's what Jesus is saying. I know that you have heard that it hath been said that the way I will win is by wiping out your enemies, but there's a new way of life now. He's saying it's not about paying them back, it's about making peace. And so he says, you're not going to get joy out of getting back at people. You watch it now, watch it. You don't get joy by getting back at people. Hear me now. You get joy by getting along with people. Amen. Let me say that again. You don't get joy by getting back at people. You get joy by getting along with people. Now, could I pose a potential fact to you tonight? That some of your misery in life has to do with the fact you don't know how to get along with people. And therefore, you're always unhappy because you live your life ever amidst conflict. There's always an enemy. There's always somebody you have a riff or a tiff with. There's always a problem. There's always, watch this now, an issue. And Jesus said, people with issues aren't happy. People that learn how to get rid of issues are happy. So tonight, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, I promised I wouldn't keep you long, so let me give you a couple things tonight by way of peacemakers. How am I a peacemaker? How many of you say tonight, if God says peacemaking makes me happy, I want to be a peacemaker? Would you raise your hand? Let's say it together. I want to be a peacemaker. I want to be a peacemaker. Now, some of you are not saying it because you don't want to be. And in essence, by not wanting to be a peacemaker, you're saying, I want to be a troublemaker. Now, could I, I'm not trying to rewrite the Bible, because the Bible tells us what condemnation will become upon us if we add or take from the Bible. But could I, in doctrinal safety, infer tonight that if blessed are the peacemakers, then cursed are the troublemakers. Am I okay with that? Because if God ain't blessing you, then he got to punish you. I don't want to get punished by God. Hebrews says a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. You know what God is saying? When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me water. When I was in prison, you... Wait a minute, Jesus. We never wait in so much as you have done it to the least of these. You have done it. Hey, you want to make peace with me? Stop arguing with my children. and my created ones. So, blessed are the peacemakers. Number one, how am I a peacemaker? Number one, seeking to live peaceably. Seeking to live peaceable. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you are not a peacemaker by nature. Let me say it again. Thank you. I will. You are not a peacemaker by nature. Wait a minute now. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that your sorry, low-down, rotten flesh would much more be an innocent bystander, or more so an avid participator in a fight than you would a loving agreement. That's why rumors spread faster in the church than good deeds. Because we thrive on junk and mess and gossip and backbiting. We stop when somebody's gossiping and keep walking when they're talking about the Lord. I wish somebody helped me tonight. I'm simply telling you know why? Because there is an insatiable appetite inside of us. There is a longing and a craving for mess. And my friend, that is not a symptom of the redeemed man. That is an identification of the unregenerate flesh. Amen. Holy Ghost lives inside of us. We combat that. The supernatural work of God. How do I seek to live peacefully? I must hasten. I must be aware of my conversion. What do you mean, aware of my conversion? Titus chapter 3, verse 3. We ourselves also were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful. Watch this now. Hateful. We were hateful, amen, and hating one another. Here's what he's saying. In order to live peaceably, I must understand there was a time in my life where I was not at peace with God. And Jesus, the peacemaker, work things out. In essence, this is what he did. Hey, you are an enemy of God. Yes, sir, Lord. You love them, don't you? Absolutely. But I can't mess with them like that. And in essence, Jesus Christ took those of us who hated God and God who loved us and brought us together. And guess what? Those of us who did nothing to initiate the deal got all of the benefit out of it. Come on. Do you? The longer you're saved, the more you realize just how much you got in the package. Sometimes we just take the big thing out the package and throw the box away. And I'm saying you better tip the thing over because there may be some good stuff that wasn't big. But sometimes the little stuff is the stuff that goes the longest way. God said, I made peace. Jesus made peace. We were brought now. So I must be aware of my conversion. Watch this now. And then I must be averting conflicts. Yeah, that means I ought to be staying away from them. Amen. Follow peace with all men. Hebrews 12. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Listen. Stop picking and choosing which Bible verses you're going to believe. Follow peace with all men. Wait a minute now. It is the will of God for you to get along with everybody. Now, it ain't going to always work out, but you should be seeking it. Come on. You should be seeking it. If there's somebody in this church you don't get along with and you're not seeking to resolve or to remedy that conflict, you're in sin. But nothing. Follow peace with, and by the way, that explains some of your unhappiness. Averting conflict. Matthew 10:34, think that I'm not that I'm come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Hey, and some people take this to think that Jesus Christ is coming down. You're trying to conflict. And he's not saying that. He's simply saying, I'm establishing my kingdom. I'm not trying to hurt people. I'm trying to drive out sin. Romans 12:18. You see if you can misinterpret this scripture. I mean, you're going to have to work hard at it, but try. if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, please tell me how you can get any other interpretation out of that than God is saying you ought to do your absolute best to live peaceably with all men. You don't need a Greek scholar to figure that out. 4 years of Bible college, master's degree, PhD. God's saying, listen, I want you to get along with your coworkers. I want you to get along with your church members. I want you to get along with your in-laws. Hello, I want you to get along with people you don't like. I want you to get along with people you don't like to work with. I want you to get along with people that have done you wrong. I want you to live peaceably. Now, I'm going to qualify that in just a moment. I ought to be aware of my conversion and averting conflicts. Wait, watch me now and hear me well. Christian people, church members, Crossroads Baptist Church, look at me and make sure you understand me. Stop picking fights. Blessed are the peacemakers. You know what that means? You don't crave an opportunity to argue. You don't bring up stuff that's supposed to be finished just because you get a kick out of rehashing it. If it all be possible. I say, if it all be possible. You know what that means? That means suck it up. Amen. Before you bring it up. You know what he's saying? Bite your tongue. Go the other way. And I'm not talking about go out the other door because you don't want to see nobody. I'm talking about submerge the thought in your mind that is unedifying and say something godly instead. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. I don't want to speak. God didn't want to come to earth, but he came because he loved us. Amen. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be. I'm about to become sin. I don't like it. But what I'm going to get out of, I'm going to do it anyway. You don't think he was happy when 13 people got saved? Tell me if it cost him. Stop picking fights. He that meddleth is like a one that taketh a dog by the ears. You know what's amazing? We will go out of our way to pick fights and do everything else we can in order to avoid witnessing. Blessed are the peacemakers. So I told you sermon, Sermon on the Mount, getting your business. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Who you pick a fight with lately? Now, good. Isn't it amazing? We can let people do stuff to us and never say anything. But if somebody that we don't like does something that normally wouldn't bother us, we make a mountain out of it. Blessed are the peacemakers. Oh, you preaching, Pastor, tonight. I know. Because this is right where we are. We like to pick fights. Amen. We're sensitive about people picking fights. Amen. But desensitized when it comes to picking them ourselves. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers. Averting conflicts. Aware of conversion. Boy, I got to hurry. This sub-point. Avoiding compromise. Now, this is important to qualify this. Follow peace with all men. Hebrews 12, 14. Watch this now. And holiness. You hear that? Ephesians 4, 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. Here's what I'm saying. Aware of my conversion. If it weren't for a peacemaker, I'd be going to hell. Averting conflict just because it's in close proximity doesn't mean I got to stop by. Well, I happen to be walking by and I noticed, keep walking. Why? Because I want to be happy. So I'm averting conflict. But here's important. Avoiding compromise. This must be put in here. Because some peacemakers are sin pacifiers. And it's important that I throw this in there. Because Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, whoever you think that is, said, follow peace. Oh, yeah. You ought to follow peace. And amen to that. How many God understand God wants us to follow peace? But he says the peace of God is accompanied by holiness. And if you got to be peaceful with somebody at the expense of holiness, forget the peace and take the holiness. I'm saying if I'm riding in a two-seater and I'm driving in the passenger seat and I'm riding down the street and there's two hitchhikers, one by the name of peace and another by the name of holiness, and I only got room for one, guess what? Peace, I'ma holler at you. Holiness, get inside the car, because I am not going to let it get along with somebody at the expense of godliness. That's what he's saying. Amen. Amen. Instead, I need to take the happy medium of peace and holiness and put that in the car. Okay? So you know what I'm saying? Because you got some segment of Christianity that said, well, ain't nothing really wrong with them. Ain't nothing really wrong with that. I don't know why you're so narrow-minded about that. I mean, people get around you and you're too judgmental. God said, don't judge. First of all, you need to learn your Bible. Okay? Matthew chapter 7 said, judge not that ye be not judged. And in context, and hallelujah, maybe in about a year and a half, we'll get to Matthew 7. And it may take that, probably take that long. But if you want to cheat and read ahead, I'm here to tell you that in context of Matthew 7, I'll give you a little sneak preview. Look, all right? The context of Matthew 7 is not saying don't judge, amen. He is simply saying don't judge somebody about something that you have not already judged yourself. In other words, don't be an expert at spotting specks and be blind at spotting telephone poles. Amen. That's what I'm saying. Don't look on the television and get mad at a man that sleeps with another woman when you lust in the mall. He's simply saying, you got to get yourself right before you judge somebody else. But he also said, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So the same Jesus that said, don't judge, said, do judge. It's got to be judgment in proper context. By their fruits ye shall know them. You don't think that's judgment? Absolutely judgment. But he said, judge righteous judgment. And that is judgment that is rendered through the eyes of the Holy Ghost and not through the eyes of the carnal man. Are you with me? Seeking to live peacefully. Number two, supplicating for God's preservation. How can I be a peacemaker? Watch this now. I can use my most valuable spiritual weapon and ask God to deal peacefully with other people. Blessed are the peacemaker. That requires concern, compassion, care, consideration. Are you a peacemaker? I hear people say all the time, I don't get along with that person, but well, I know that I'm trying to do my best to get along with them because I pray for them. Well, add that to the rest of the things you pray and don't mean. Okay, just because you have somebody's name on your prayer list doesn't mean you're doing everything to get along with them. Moses didn't just say in Exodus, God, I pray for the Jews. He said, blot my name out and keep them in. That's a peacemaker. Aaron ran down and got in the middle of the plague and stood between the dead and the living and said, let it be stayed. That's a peacemaker. Samuel went to God on the behalf of the people and told them, I'm sinning if I don't pray for you. That's a peacemaker. Here's my question tonight. When's the last time you got down on your knees and cut off all them prayer requests you had for yourself and begged God to hold back his wrath on somebody you don't even care for that much? Blessed are the peacemakers. Watch this. This is how we are. That's what they get. Did me the same way. What goes around comes around. Instead of saying, God, I know they did me wrong, but it sounds like how I did you. And Jesus prayed in John 17, the way we love each other, God, show them that love. Love them as I have loved you. Keep them. John 17. We call our Father which in heaven, thou hallowed be thy name, a king. We call it Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer should be titled John 17. Because that's the one, that's the Lord's Prayer. The rest of them are the model prayers. But the Lord's Prayer was John 17, when God got serious talking to God about us. The second person of the Trinity, the first person of the Trinity. Amen. And employed the third person of the Trinity to accomplish his prayer. I don't read the Bible because it's boring. Are you kidding me? So I have to ask, I need to get on my knees and be praying for people. Exodus 32:10, 2 Samuel 24:14, Jeremiah 12:11, Numbers 16:47, 48. This is Aaron's prayer. Exodus, Moses' prayer. 2 Samuel 24:14, Samuel's prayer. Jeremiah 12:11, Jeremiah's prayer. And excuse me, if you read the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah did nothing wrong. They locked him up and threw him in jail. And he's praying for God to spare them. That's a peacemaker. Jeremiah had a ministry that was very unproductive, but he learned happiness. Exodus 22, 30 and 31, Ezekiel. Number three, seeking to live peaceably. Two, supplicating for God's preservation. Three, soul winning for others' pardon. Blessed are the peacemakers. I think one of the biggest opportunities that we have to be peacemakers is by telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you hear me? By telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember in Romans chapter 10? Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Do you remember 10:13? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But the thought doesn't stop. How shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? But the thought doesn't stop there. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The most viable opportunity that I have to make peace is when I take a hell-bound sinner and introduce to that one, Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. God thereby uses me to bring a lost man in a great relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. And ain't nothing that brings more joy than leading somebody to the Lord. Wow. Blessed are the peacemakers. I get to tell somebody about God's pardon. I should be committed by belief. I should know it's true. I should be compelled by a burden. Do you hear me? How can somebody do something that earns less money, puts them more in danger, takes them away from their homeland, and still want to do it? These missionaries come home from furlough, come home on furlough, and can't wait to get back to the field. And we go out for an hour and can't wait to get back to the church. Come on. It's where our heart is. It's where our burden is. Are you burdened enough about somebody to do what it takes to get them saved? Constrained by belonging. The love of Christ constraineth us. We judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Just the mere understanding that there's a hell should drive us to be soul winning. Lastly, I'm finished. Shining as God's people. Shining as God's people. Hebrews 13:20, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Hebrews 2:11, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified all are one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Hebrews 11:16, but they desire a better country that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Romans 8:19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestations of the sons of God. Hey, there is nothing in the world like being called a child of God. Now, wait a minute. Peacemaker, I'm not a child of God. Bible never said that. Because if that's the case, a whole bunch of us are not children of God. Watch this now. He didn't say if you're not a peacemaker, you will not be the children of God. He just said people ain't gonna call you that. I don't know why
You didn't know I was a Christian? Isn't it amazing somebody meet somebody that you've known all this time and tell that person about Jesus, and they look at you and say, why you didn't invite me? And you be lying. I did. Remember that time we were by the water fountain and I told you come to, gave you a little, no, you ain't never told me. Uh-huh. You probably didn't tell them because you can't get along with them. And it's hard to tell somebody I want you to go to heaven when I don't like the sight of you. Come on. And it's hard to tell somebody that you want them to go to heaven when they see you not liking the sight of somebody else. I'm talking about bad attitude, grumpy, vindictive, revengeful. I'm talking about when you get to bragging about getting back at somebody and planning it and scheduling it. I'm talking about a pager. Buzz me when it's time for me to get back at somebody. And listen, I know I'm telling the truth, because there are Christian people who will go around and tell other people, wait till you see what I'm going to do to that person. Do you really think that it's Christian of you, you hear me, to be running down another Christian to another Christian? You think that's Christ-like? Can you see Jesus waiting for somebody to leave the room to run them down? Can you see Jesus? Can you see Jesus going, mm-hmm, great to see you, walking, oh, ugly son. Can you imagine? Can you see Jesus? Then tell me, when you call yourself a Christian, is that not a gross contradiction? You're going to spend forever with that ugly person. So you call them. Bless all the people. They shall be called. God said, I'm not ashamed to call them brethren. Because then, by the way, he said he would not be ashamed of those who were not ashamed of him. Identification and impact. They're first called Christians at Antioch. Called Christians at first at Antioch. The world called them Christians. By this show, all men know that you're my disciples and they have loved one for another. We know that we've been passed from death unto life and we love brethren. Wait a minute. Here you go, inferring again. Well, yeah, just let me. We make people think we are still lost when we don't love brethren. Bless all the people. By the way, could I employ this to our spouses, couples, tonight, and then I'm finished. How good are you at making peace in your marriage? Well, I was right, were you? That person did me wrong. Soon as they come apologize, we can get back to where we were. But I didn't mess up. Once you say sorry, I forgive you. But only once you say it. You know what? It would be okay if you stimulated a resolution. It's going to be quiet till you talk. You bust a move. I can go as long as you can go. Salt. Pepper too. How was your day? Same way it always is. You know where I work. Good night. And turn the light off too. It's amazing how we can't talk till it's something mean. We don't speak. Yes, you do. Just don't speak nice. Well, I have a problem saying, be quiet, get out my way, excuse me. We just don't like to say kind thing. Why don't you stimulate peace? Well, there's no peace in my marriage. Make it happen. Get busy. If you spend as much time making peace as you did making problems, you might be happy. That's why you're so tired. Troublemaking will wear you out. You know what I'm saying? You leave the house in the morning already tired.
Conflict. Oh, I'm drained.
I don't know about you. Coming out of something where there's peace is not draining, it's energizing. Huh? But some people just get a kick out of just stuff being jacked up. We want to leave with a nice little loud exit. And like I said, boom. And crossed the wrong one. You don't know how I'm doing. Don't talk to me any kind of way. I ain't the one. Act like you glad because you got the last word. Cried all the way to work. You ain't gonna let her know. But you know good and well you miserable. And too stinking proud to call back. I'm not telling you from experience. I just heard that's what men do. I Googled it. Men don't like to call back. Y'all men crazy. You know what I'm saying? Y'all crazy, man. She always call back. At least text. Sorry, baby. By the way, statistics say ladies don't want a text saying you're sorry. You didn't tell me off over text. Don't text me sorry. That's the easy way out, isn't it? Matthew 18 wasn't written in the text industry. Jesus said, go get him one-on-one. It's hard to be one-on-one on a text message. It's easy to lie on one, too. Let me go and close this thing down. Y'all had a long day, harvest day and everything. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now watch this now, and I'm done. You are much more likely on your job, in your neighborhood, in your family, to be called a child of God based on how you make peace, much more than based on how much you talk about how spiritual you are. Because talking about being spiritual is you calling yourself a Christian. Being spiritual, which a peacemaker is when they start calling you a Christian. Our Father.